Hello and welcome to No Big Two Comic Review. I'm Adam Buckafusco. Joined with me, of course, is
Gabriel Dunstan.
And we are out. We are out where it's happening. We're
at the hometown show.
That's right. We are with comic creators. We are with fans. We are here. We are with a dude with a PA. That's always fun.
It could be worse, man. You get a guy that needs to make an announcement, and then he takes for hours stuttering. Like Tina from Bob's Burgers just gets on the microphone.
Yeah. So we're going to do things a little different. I know you guys all love my voice, but I'm going to go enjoy where we are and pretty much let you run the show. How do you feel about that?
I'm scared out of my mind.
I think you'll be all right.
Aw.
Don't choke up, man.
But, I mean, I wasn't gonna. And, I mean,
it's
now.
It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. I understand. Before I leave you,
yeah,
I did promise that I would give a review of A Valiant Comic, Archer and Armstrong, Volume 1. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, hey.
I really enjoyed it. Archer and Armstrong, really cool concept of a book. It's kind of Da Vinci Code-esque, Indiana Jones-ish. The main characters are kind of foil characters. Archer is a monk, for lack of a better term. He's a religious warrior who was trained at an abandoned amusement park by his family of monk warrior folk. He was given the assignment to take out Archer, who is a boozing, chick-loving, sleazy immortal who can't die, and they ultimately end up teaming up to take down a conspiracy that is the likes of biblical proportions. And it was a lot of fun. It totally caught me by surprise how much I ended up enjoying Archer and Armstrong. And I can finally say I have given A Valiant Book a fair chance, and I really dug it.
All right, man.
So there you go.
I still haven't read it, but I'm going to.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
I can't wait to read the book that Rafer does.
Yeah, absolutely. That's coming up down the pike, or is that already out?
No, it's the thing that he it was announced, I think, in Baltimore that it was going to be the writer. So it's coming up. I don't know when it'll be out officially, but I'll look it up. And unfortunately, he's not here this weekend, but he's a buddy, so I could just email him, say, "Hey, Rafer, when's your stuff coming out? Take my money. Just you personally, take my money now and give me books."
That could work.
Yeah, man.
That could work.
All right. So I'll take the lead. I'm gonna go around. I'll talk to some artsy folks, and I'll just we're all gonna talk about comic art and what it's like to come to cons.
And good luck battling the dude with the PA.
It's all right.
He's got a bigger microphone than us.
Yeah, he likes me though. He might actually mention me over the PA.
Oh, that would be sweet.
That would be sweet.
You should record his mention into this microphone.
Yeah.
It's very meta.
Yeah.
All right, enough of me. See ya.
See ya. Adam has made a terrible mistake. He's given me the recorder, so now I'm going to go around and interview all the people that I want to interview. And here I am with...
I'm Andrew Strong, and I'm with Strong Designs.
It's Strong, it's not Strange.
No.
Dude, I've been calling you Strange for like a year.
It's too amusing.
I've introduced you to like 7 people. Why haven't you corrected me?
Because I have people who actually introduced me as Mr. Strange, too. It's very amusing to me.
Okay,
that
one I get, but I've been making an ass of myself.
No, you're fine.
Okay, tell me all about you, all about your company. Oh, excuse me, and you're accompanied by?
Adrian Strong, his wife. The one who manages and does all the PR and all that fun stuff.
Awesome.
I also cross-stitch now. Look.
Sweet. All right, so tell us all about Strong Design, not Strange Design.
Essentially, I'm a commercial designer. I do a lot of graphic design work for local companies, logos, basic stuff like that. That's what really got me going with it. But it started to branch into my own kind of stuff where I've started making, you know, my own individual posters that are not necessarily for events and venues, mostly just artwork. It started that way with doing, you know, local craft shows and basic markets where that really took off. But I wasn't really seeing a lot of kind of bounce back on it, so we started to dive into the con market because my ultimate goal one day is to try and get into the comic book artwork. Can you hear me over that?
the game on this thing is pretty sweet. So, all right. So, is it paying off? Like going to Comic Cons since it's working out?
They are essentially me paying for advertisement for myself. I make a few bucks, but most of the time I'm breaking pretty much even at these things. So it's good because I make a lot of nice networking connections with people. I get, you know, a lot of bounce back with new jobs. So a lot of times I'll make a few bucks leaving here, but most of them it's the network. Because I'll get
nerds, so we just like being here.
It's a nice way of getting in here for essentially for free.
Adrian, tell me about all the stuff that you do for Strong Design.
I book the shows. I find things to do. I research new products to add to our line. I make Facebook posts. Anything he really needs me to do. I do the taxes. That's a big thing.
That's huge, right? You are the best.
Because I will lose my mind if I try to do it.
Yeah.
Like I do. But.
And now I do cross stitches of his art, so I feel like I can contribute to the table. Don't laugh at me.
She's very pleased with her cross stitches.
I am very pleased with my cross stitch.
They look lovely.
If you were to design more or less the strong design sense, just where you go with your artwork, how would you describe the kind of stuff that you do?
Primarily, most of the stuff I'm doing is robots. More of a retro style, you know, futurism type style artwork. Not really big into the whole modern mecha manga style robots. Nothing wrong with them. I just don't really do that. I like being a little bit different with it. It's spanned out into other different things, trying to, you know, put a little bit more variety on the table, show people I can do more than just mechanical little guys. But I don't know. I mean, my goal right now is I'm actually in the process of trying to work on a few storylines. Like, I'm trying to write a little book about a robot and things like that. And so I'm hoping that the combination of the two will try to help get that going forward for me. But
fantastic. Now, I'm looking at a bunch of your prints. These are not just printed at any old print shop or off of a desktop. What kind of prints are these?
They're actually screen prints. They're all hand-pulled with a squeegee. Some of them are done with an automatic. Some of them are actually done physically with a big, you know, 14, 15-inch squeegee. A very tedious process. Usually you have to do one color a night. You got to let them dry overnight. Whereas a digital printer, you just hit print and pop out. Yeah,
fantastic, man. I like it very much. And because you've got the screen printing, you've got the super clean lines that I really, really dig. And what's like, I'm looking at this print of an owl and a t-shirt with an octopus that Adrian is wearing. And that is some super intricate detail. I didn't think you could get that with screen printing.
You can, you can't. It's all about knowing your process. If you understand the process, you know what screens to use and what pressures and tensions. Typically, if you want to get that kind of detail, you've got to use a really high 360 mesh screen. If you want something kind of bold and open, you got to use a low 110 mesh. Most screen printers kind of get familiar with this. But what makes a lot of the stuff I do unique is I do like to mix a combination of hand illustration with vector digital design to kind of give a little bit more of a polished look with an organic kind of mix in with it. And it's a fine line of trying to keep a nice balance without it looking too computer-generated versus, like, somebody actually sat down with a pen.
Right. All right, man. So I've screen-printed myself. I know exactly how tedious and how just mind-bogglingly awful it can be. So what possesses you to screen-print?
I just kind of fell into it. Honestly, I started out as a web programmer. And the market started to dry up, and so I was looking for a random job, and I started out being the guy who was sweeping the floors in the screen printing shop. And I just kind of worked my way up the chain, and next thing I know, I was the head guy doing it, and it was fun. I just liked the fact that you got to be a graphic designer, you got to work in a production shop, but there was a lot of hands-on still, so it allowed me to feel like there was an actual human element still involved with the process. It wasn't just you designed it and sent it out and never really saw how it was produced, which has been very helpful for me as a designer because it allows me, with working with clients and stuff, to understand production shops and what needs to be done to give clients and files the right way. So, but yeah, I just kind of got stuck with it. I left it for a while and I came back to it because I missed it. And now I'm just doing it as part of my art form and trying to educate people as I see them on what it is, because it's surprisingly how many people don't understand what goes into it.
And I think one of the reasons why he likes to do it for his artwork is because while he likes doing paintings and one-of-a-kind things, it's hard to move those. We can't afford to buy somebody's original painting. And so we wanted to make art that was sort of an original, that was a limited quantity, that we could get to people who couldn't necessarily afford to buy a custom piece. So these are all like individually unique. They're all numbered. They're editions of usually around 50, 55. So it's a way to get original art at an affordable price.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Well, thank you both so much. I really appreciate you talking.
Thank you.
You sound great.
Okay.
And your name and all that.
Oh, sure. So I'm Harold Seipp. I'm the writer and co-creator of Screamland. There's two volumes now available from Image Comics. Screamland Volume 1 and Screamland Death of the Party. Screamland is a book that supposes all your classic movie monsters instead of folks in makeup. The monsters are real and starred in, you know, the films that we all kind of love about them. So Screamland picks up modern day after, you know, computer animation, the CW, younger actors and all this stuff. So a lot of these guys are maybe, you know, out of work, out of luck, and kind of struggling a bit. So that's where we pick up. Volume 1 involves Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, a werewolf, and a mummy, all kind of in line for a possible comeback film. And Volume 2 involves a bit more of your 50s atomic monsters, and the basic plot is a murder mystery set inside a comic convention.
Wow, awesome.
Thanks.
Okay, and you are the writer of the series, correct?
Right. Co-creator and writer. Co-created with artist Hector Casanova. And then we have
that's a name right there. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, Hector's... he's teaching now at the Kansas City Art Institute. He does a lot of local murals. He's a really great local artist in Kansas City. And, you know, we have Lee Leslie, too, who worked on Volume 2, who's really, really phenomenal, and, you know, hopefully he and I will be working on more Screamland in the future. So.
Okay, awesome. And this is put out by Image, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
What was the process of getting published by Image?
Well, you know, at the time, and we got picked up with by Image in 2007, I guess. Image, to my understanding, still has an open submission. They're one of the few publishers, main publishers, that does. You know, I wish there was a real exciting story about it. We sent the pitch, and then we were, I think what helped us is we were lucky enough to run into publisher Eric Stevenson at a convention and spoke to him a bit about the book, and I think that kind of helped the process along a bit. So.
Fantastic. How long has it been running?
The first volume of Screamland started in 2008, was collected, I think, in 2009. Second volume started in 2011. And the collection came out, I forget if it was like late 2012 or 2013. We're kind of, I mentioned Lee Leslie, who again is a really phenomenal artist who worked on the second volume. And I'm actually kind of hopeful that we're going to take another crack at it. It would be a lot of fun for sure.
Absolutely. Now I'm seeing a floppy on your table, and the company logo is the 12 Gauge Comics logo. Is this also something that you wrote?
I've got a story. So, 12 Gauge, this was at Heroes Con a couple years ago. I think this came out in 2012. Uh-huh. It was initially, the name of the book you're looking at is Country Ass Whoopin'. And a little story behind that, 12 Gauge is based, I think, in Atlanta, Georgia. And at the time, there had been these devastating tornadoes in Alabama, and folks wanted to do something. So they asked Southern-born writers and artists if they could contribute stories basically about, like, fights. Like, you know, I've been in, like, one fight, so at least I qualified, I guess, for that. But it's a really fun book. I'm really proud to be part of it. Like, Jason Aaron has a really great story in it. Sean Patrick Flannery has, like, a pretty tremendous story. It's a really fun volume. It was something I was really proud to be part of.
Okay, I mentioned 12 Gauge because they actually made one of my favorite books back in the day is their Sidekick book.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember reading that by any chance?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I mean, I met Kevin and Doug, who were running 12 Gauge. I mean, I was fortunate enough. I've read a lot of their material. I'm a big fan.
Okay, and so their company is still rocking, still moving.
Yeah,
strong.
Yeah. They're still turning out books. I know they had a lot. And of course, I'm actually reading something from them right now, but of course, I'm blanking on it. So sorry about that.
That's fine. If we wanted to follow up more about you and learn more about Screamland, where do we go?
Sure. About Screamland, go to Facebook, and we're just facebook.com/Screamland. If you want to learn more about me, go to either Herald Sipe, SIPE.com, or Lucky Sipe at Tumblr.com.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
This is a good show with lots of good people. There's a lot of crafters here. My favorite thing to talk to are the, I'm a self-publisher, so I like to find other self-publishers because, A, I usually like the material, and B, we can talk a lot of shop, so prepare yourselves. That's probably most of who we'll be talking to today.
Talk to you for a bit?
Sure.
All right. Could you tell me your name and what you work
on? My name is J.M. Dragunas, D-R-A-G-U-N-A-S. I know it's a mouthful. And I just finished up a Kickstarter, actually. It ended a few weeks ago. Do you want to wait till that guy's over?
The microphone actually picks you up over that.
Oh, nice, nice. So the Kickstarter ended a few weeks ago. And if everything stays on schedule, the book will come out in March. It's called The Sires of Time. The first issue's been out for the last year, but it's, you know, out of print now. And then, the hardcover will come out in March. That's about all I'm working on now.
All right. So that was you just told me about your Kickstarter. Tell me about your artwork. Tell me about the things that you work on.
Well, I've done little bits here and there, like for Ben Temple Smith's new book, Dagon. I've done a pinup for that. Little Nemo, Dream Another Dream. Book won an Eisner Award. I have a page in that one. I have little pages here and there, but most of my energy goes into my own book, you know. That was the first question. Oh, right, about my style. I try to have like a Renaissance-y kind of Baroque style. I'm influenced by a lot of the older illustrators like Gustav Doré and Albrecht Dürer and Hermann Vogel. So I try to emanate like the woodcut style, the engraving kind of highly detailed, 20 hours a day at the drawing table.
Yeah, that was my next question, because this stuff looks hardcore. It's the most ornate, the most heavily detailed stuff that I have seen in person ever.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate that. And I mean, that's kind of exactly the look I'm going for. Like, if you're gonna, you can take a picture. Yeah, like if you're gonna, my whole theory on artwork is if you're gonna do it, go all the way, and dedicate your whole existence to it.
Well, it looks like you've done that. And my next question was, how long do these take you, and how do you keep from going insane spending that much time on any one image?
Well, most of these take, like, probably 30, 40 hours a piece, but I try to do a piece in no longer than 4 days. I try to keep it down to 3 days, but sometimes you gotta not go to bed, until you're done. But that's why I save, like little silly backgrounds for when you're on, like, hour 22 of no sleep, and that way you can do kind of mindless stuff. But the trick is, I listened to a podcast a long time ago, and it talked about how your body works in cycles. Like, you sleep in cycles, you eat in cycles, so it says you're supposed to work that way. So you've got to, like, learn when to take a break. Even if it's only, like, a five-minute break, just you got to, like, click the refresh button on your mind and check Facebook or, go eat a snack or take a walk or up and down the street real quick, Just little stuff. You just got to... I mean, everyone's different. You just got to learn how to work long.
How long do your little reset the brain breaks take you?
It kind of depends. Usually like 10 minutes, Like, I'll check Facebook something. A lot of times, I'll read a quick chapter in a graphic novel or something, Like, as long as you would take to read a comic book. So that's usually what I do for a break sometimes,
Yeah, for me personally, at the end of a 10-minute break, I'm thinking, I just don't need to finish this today.
Yeah, you got to push through that. That's the dangerous part.
My next question is, so you've made a graphic novel. How, with this art style, did you manage to finish that before you died?
I've been working on it for a little over 3 years, actually. But
Have you been keeping quiet about it? I mean, I got your floppy Sires of Time, and that was lovely. But have you been keeping quiet all these past years about it?
Well, yeah, basically, like, I didn't want to. I mean, I have a few prints with those characters on it, but I wanted to, until I've got a nice finished product to show you, this is exactly what my vision sort of looks like. I hate using that word, but you know what I mean? That way, so yeah, kind of keeping quiet about it until I could show you what I wanted it to be, and then you could be like, oh, okay, now I see what you're talking about, kind of thing.
Okay. Man, if I were to sum you up in one word, right now the word would be discipline.
Oh, thanks. We only get one shot, you know? You've got a... I mean, I had a pretty disciplined upbringing. I used to work on an ambulance, and, you know, seeing stuff like that puts other stuff in perspective. So, you know, life kind of makes you disciplined just through, you know, other experiences, so you can kind of take that into comics and...
Yeah, if I hadn't met you and I'm just looking at all this artwork and I'd hear like 20, 30, 40 hours at a time, just don't go to sleep, I'm not going to tell anybody about this thing until it's almost completely done, I would expect you to be a very, very severe, I would expect you to be Batman. I would expect you to be Batman and scowl all the time. And here you are just all smiles, just every time I see you, you're like, oh, everything's great, I love everyone.
Well, I mean... I don't want to be sour at all, but I mean, like, look at the refugee crisis right now. I'm a big history buff, so you can look at any other time in history, and no matter how bad your life is now, there was 10,000 people that would trade that for an instant, you know? So you got opportunities, you got to take advantage of them.
So the real trick is just perspective.
Perspective and context. That's life right there.
Well, I've learned something valuable. Thanks, man. If people wanted to learn more about you, where do they go and what do they do?
I have a website, dragunasmonster.com.
Could you spell that, please?
Dragunas, and then monster, monster.com. Or on Instagram, Instagram is where I put most of my stuff, which is just JM Dragunas, you know.
Now I have to ask the obvious question. Is Dragunas a real name?
It really is. I don't know what nationality it is, because I... My maternal grandfather I've never met, and my maternal father I have no idea. But it is my real last name, I can assure you that.
What do you do all of your drawing? Because I'm looking at your paper. Your paper looks really nice. What do you do your actual drawing on? What do you do it with? And what are you printing on?
Well, I draw everything on vellum. It's like a mylar. It's called Duralar, which I use Croquel, so it allows the Croquels to skate on top very easily. You don't dig up a lot of paper. But then I print everything on 65-pound parchment paper. Because the originals being black and white, the parchment sort of gives it like another layer, which is kind of cheating, but at least it looks pretty.
You use actual parchment paper. No part of that is cheating.
Well, thanks.
Every part of that is badass.
So I guess it's testing, huh? Yeah, got it right. All right, my name is Jason Axtell, and I represent Axtell Illustration. It's just my independent moniker when I go to Comic-Cons and so on. I am an independent artist. I do a variety of stuff. My most notable thing would be the Family Guy comic book from a couple years back, published by Devil's Due Publishing. And outside of that, I've been working independently, producing my own works and comic books such as Strays and Gates. I've also worked as a colorist through the DC Conspiracy, which is an independent comics collective from the Washington, D.C. area. And we've produced books such as Wild Ocean and Colonial Comics. I am also illustrating a story for the second volume of Colonial Comics, which is due out in April of 2016. In the meantime, I also have a variety of stuff here, including Strays and Gates, which is a comic strip that I ran in the Savannah Morning News and Bluffton Today newspapers down in the Savannah, Georgia area for 1 year, as well as a couple other things, like my own things like Strange Fungus and Mr. Winslow, as well as Wet Brain, which collects a lot of my own written and illustrated works itself. In the meantime, a lot of people recognize me for the Stewie mashups. If you ever come to a Comic-Con and see Stewies, that's more than likely me.
All right. Sweet, man. So if you could describe your art or your art sensibilities, how would you do it?
All over the place. I do everything from like the very fine portrait work I even have like some figure art on my table here. I got cartooning, I got digital coloring, painted work, some pastel, sometimes humorous, sometimes a little bit more in the, on the horror or fantasy side. It's all over the place, but I kind of like it that way, though. It gives me a lot of flexibility to kind of approach a project with the right sensibility.
What are you most proud of on your table right now?
Most proud of? I think it would be a combination of two things, actually. I would say it's the Colonial Comics book, as well as my Strays and Gates book. The reason I have to mention both of those is because one is a collaboration. Well, they're both really collaborations. Both of them are really collaborations. The Colonial Comics is really nice looking book. My friend Scott White did the cover as well as a number of the illustrations in there. Jason Rodriguez did a fantastic job editing it and organizing it, getting it all together, and I'm really proud to be a part of the second volume of that as well. Whereas Strays and Gates was just a great experience to be able to see my own, kind of a story that my buddy Barry Kaufman and myself came up with and produced and actually got off the ground. If you're an independent artist and you work with a lot of other people, then you know that sometimes things fall through. That's one of those things that did not fall through. We actually got it in the paper, and we had a one-year run on it. I think Barry did a fantastic job with the writing. It's very humorous, good characters, and just a really fantastic experience all around.
Okay, awesome. What are you working on right now?
Currently, actually, I just finished my story for the second volume of Colonial Comics, which is a 9-page story that will appear in there about Owen Sullivan. He's the America's first counterfeiter. And outside of that, now that I'm finished up with that, I have two things coming up on the horizon. One is possibly a children's book or another story that I've been working on called Day of the Dandelions. So there's a couple prospects on the horizon. I'm hoping to get one of those things out on my tables in the next year or so.
Awesome. And if we wanted to learn more about you and your works online, where would we go?
You'd go to Axtellustration. That's AXTELLUSTRATION.com.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thank you, man.
Good to go? Okay. I am Max Dowdle, and this is Artigem, or Artigem.com, or Artigem Graphic Library, whichever you prefer.
How do you spell that?
ARTAGEM. It's Art and Stratagem.
I just now got that.
Doesn't immediately leap to mind, I know.
Oh, man. All right, Max, Tell me about your stuff. Tell me about, just tell me about all of the stuff on your table.
I've got a lot here. You can kind of pick your poison. I've got originals, I've got prints, and I've got two books. One is an anthology with a story by me, and the other is a full-length graphic novel. It's an original tale about four friends who take an experimental drug and go walking through each other's dreams to untangle the knots, and it is entitled Shattered with Curve of Horn. The anthology is Speculative Relationships, Volume 2. I've got an 8-page fully... lost my train of thought. Okay, I've got an 8-page fully oil-painted story in it. And there are 14 other stories by 14 artist-writer duos from across the United States. And I've got various originals, all fan art of Wonder Woman, Iron Man, Star Wars characters, a few original drawings as well. And then prints of all your favorite Marvel and DC characters, including the Avengers, Storm, Wolverine, Catwoman, Batman, and the like. All things that are popular at a venue such as this.
Awesome. So. Now, Max, you say that you oil painted a comic.
Yes.
That's not something that comic people normally do.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Right. Okay. So this was a bit of an experiment. It's done in black and white. The story entitled Thaw, which appears in Speculative Relationships. It's 8 pages that are, they're done at about, 24 by 18 inches. And so I treated those panels as a page, and I basically just went into it, rocked the oil paint, and came out with something that I was pretty pleased with, and I'm really happy to move into a full-length oil-painted graphic novel next.
So in addition to just having black and white oils in a comic, that's strange because most comic people are line work and not painterly.
Yeah.
Could you explain some of that background?
Yeah, definitely. So, I think that the whole sort of concept of doing line work in a comic comes out of the limitations of printing back when comics were first being printed and how you needed these strong black lines to contain the colors, and it was just, everything was a little bit more primitive. But now with this digital printing and offset printing, everything is so precise and so fine, you can have something that's a little bit fuzzier and really kind of lyrical, like oil paint, woven all together onto a page, and it will come out crisp and clean and pretty true to life. So it allows artists like me to do something a little bit more fun for me, and not just sort of... I find working with ink tedious, so that's my temperament. Yeah. And so I really enjoy working with paint. It's what I'm most comfortable with. It's what I'm quickest with as well. So I can.
It's what you trained with for so many
years. Exactly. Yeah. So I trained as a portrait artist, and painting is what I do day in and day out. So working with paint is familiar and welcoming. Working with ink is harsh and bleak.
don't let John hear you say that. Dragoon is over there.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like some people can sit down and they have the temperament to be able to like just really, really get it deep into ink, and I love that. I think it's beautiful. But when I try to do it, it comes out herky jerky and kind of imprecise. And so you have to. I think one of the things as an artist that is best for me is to learn like what are my strengths, what are my weaknesses, and to work towards those strengths. And one of those strengths is oil paint, and why not just marry that with comics, because I love that too.
Okay, fantastic. How would most oil painters I know don't get into comics? How did you do it?
You know, I mean, I started drawing comics when I was a kid, and I came to oil painting roundabout later. I went through sculpting and everything like that, so I'm actually kind of just moving full circle back to comics, because that was something I loved to do as a kid. And I guess it's always been sort of deeply seated inside there.
If you were going to sum up your artistic sensibilities, mm-hmm. what would you say? What would you say is at the core of Max?
Okay, I think you know you wrestle with this a lot as an artist, trying to figure out what am I doing as an artist. And I think really, truly, the most simplest way I can say it is that as an artist, my job is to illuminate and not obfuscate. So I know that sounds really sort of poetic and loose, but really what it means is that in terms of comics, it means if I'm trying to tell a story, I need to tell it in as clear a way as possible and in a way that's most comfortable for me. So that's where I arrive at, well, I want to tell it with oil paint. I want to do sort of realistic kinds of pictures. Those are things that speak to me in a truthful way and make me want to tell a story. And so I guess that's really at the heart of creation and the impetus behind it for me.
And if we're looking for you online, where do we go?
You can find me at artagem.com. ArtaGem, or maxdowdle.com. That's MaxDowdle.com.
All right, fantastic. Thanks so much, Max.
All right, man.
All right, this place is filled up pretty good, and I keep casting an eye back at my own table, so I'm going to pause for now, and we'll pick up towards the end of the show day.